You're listening to episode 155 of the Forest Podcast, recorded Monday, January 9th, 2012. A Dance with Kenneth.
Hey, everybody, welcome to Forest Podcast. I'm Mike Evans.
I'm Kenneth Love.
And we're your daily tech design and development Burger Kings.
Yeah. Woo, Burger King.
I know, you may be a Burger Prince.
I am?
Or a Burger, what is it, Duchess?
I finished Game of Thrones, or not Game of Thrones, Dance with Dragons.
Oh, I haven't.
Yeah, I finished it this morning.
I stopped so early in that book when I realized that it was just all old shit. And I was
No, it's not all old. You get like 2/3 of the way through it, and then it catches up to where you were at Feast of Crows. And
it does? I thought
stopped. And then it's new stuff.
Well, never mind. I'm gonna go
with some fairly important developments on Daenerys, Jon Snow, Cersei, and let's see who else.
I just got really.
Yeah, those are probably the most important ones.
I just got really tired of constantly hearing Tyrion be all like depressed and going, "Where do whores go? Where do whores go?"
He stops asking where whores go, and he stops remembering that thrum sound. So it gets better.
it gets better.
It's like bullying. It's like bullying.
It's the Game of Thrones. It gets better.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm excited for the HBO season. When they have to do this book for just all the stuff that happens to Cersei in it, it will be amazing.
I still don't believe that they'll get to it.
I don't believe they will either.
It's going to be so much money.
Either all the actors are going to die waiting on these books to actually be published,
right?
Or they'll just run out of money, or just nobody's going to care. I think once they start killing off people in, like, the third book...
All the good actors? All the ones that cost money?
Yeah, they start killing off the people that actually, like, everyone cares about. Nobody's going to watch the show anymore.
And, I mean, just thinking of, like, some of the fight scenes.
Which is sad, because I want to see Jaime walk around with only one hand.
Yeah, but, like, the fight at King's Landing and, like, the Red Wedding and stuff is going to be so expensive to shoot.
Yeah, they'll never do it. it won't happen.
They're just going to talk about it. It's going to be, like, one of those things, oh, yeah, there was a battle there, and then you're just going to see the aftermath.
Yeah.
All right. What's the color?
Have you watched? We're gonna talk about stuff. Have you tried? Have you watched Sherlock yet? From Stephen Moffat.
The BBC.
Yeah.
Yeah, I watched. But they only had like 4 episodes.
We had 3 in the first season, but they're an hour and a half long each.
But there were two pilots though. I was upset by the way they changed it because they did the first pilot and it was a lot darker. It was a lot more obvious that he was gay, all that type of stuff. Mm-hmm. And then they redid it to make it more like fluffy.
Right.
It's still good, though.
I tried watching A Study in Pink last night and fell asleep on it. So
A Study in Pink? What's...
That's the first episode.
The one with the briefcase.
Yeah, the pills and then the missing... Yeah, I got to, like... He knows the suitcase is missing, can't find it, and then, like, somebody who I'm guessing is Moriarty, but I don't know, like, halfway kidnaps Watson.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then I, like, fell asleep, so I'll try it again.
I mean, it's a good series, and I know they're starting it up.
It's very exciting. Season 2, they've already had 1 or 2 episodes come out. They did Hound of the Baskervilles, and I think they did something else, too. I don't know.
I just watched episode 2 of the movie, and it was awful.
The sequel? See, I want to see it. It looks good. I liked the first one. The first one was really good.
I liked the first one, but the second one seems like they're like, oh, look, we have, what's his name? Not Freddie Prinze Jr., Robert Downey Jr. They're like, oh, we have Robert Downey Jr. on like a contract for 2 more movies. So for the second one, let's just piece together a bunch of shit.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Like, I didn't care about the story about it at all. It was just like, oh, whatever, it's boring. I almost fell asleep.
Let's talk about Color Thief because you're just wasting time rambling about this.
Oh, no. We're going to have Sherlock Holmes come investigate. Who stole the colors?
Yeah, exactly. Color Thief. I think Lokesh Thakkar is the one that stole all the colors. Sorry for that creaking sound. It's the mat that I'm standing on and my chair as I wiggle my butt. So Color Thief is it's a little bit of JavaScript and canvas tag magic that it will take a picture, whatever picture you want, and then it will give you the color palette from said picture and what the dominant color is for the picture.
Yeah, it's nice. The one at the bottom... I thought that there was an actual, like, air picture missing, but then I realized
it
was
the Facebook
icon. Facebook
icon. Yes. But, I think this is a cool idea, especially if you're, like, you know, you want to build a quick little color palette around a certain image for a design or something.
Right.
You know, it can be really handy. Or maybe you want to automatically, you know, you let people upload a profile photo, and then you recolor your UI based on their profile.
Oh, God.
Well,
that sounds awful.
It could be horrible, but for like a really nice community, like the Path community or maybe Force, maybe not. Dribble, I could see using this.
Yeah, because I mean, because it's the whole thing like search by colors.
Yeah, but where you've got like a design element to it already, then I could see this playing out well for people. Yeah, it's a cool idea. There's a blog post you can go read if you want to find out more about like how he's using it and why and stuff like that. And yeah, it's pretty cool. Let's go on to the next one. Next one is jQuery Transit.
What are we transmitting?
Well, we're not transmitting anything. We're transiting things.
Well, same thing.
No, it's not. so it's from Rico St. Cruz, something like that. Rico.
You got the last one. You got that last thing, but you couldn't do this one.
Well, the STA, that's like Saint, right?
Yeah.
Rico, oh, it's like Rico Santa Cruz. Something
Santa
like
Cruz,
that.
That's what I was thinking.
That's what we're going to say. We're going to say Santa Cruz. It's by Rico. Rico Suave. No, so what this is smoothing for CSS3 transformations and transitions using jQuery.
You're like easing? Or what's smoothing?
No, it's like making the transitions smoother. Like, so the transitions and the animations look nicer.
Are they usually jaggy?
It's probably some easing as well. Yeah, well, they're somewhat jaggy because it depends on some browsers use hardware acceleration, some browsers don't.
Right. I don't fuck with this shit.
I think the idea is that this is to make it a little bit nicer for everybody.
So I don't need my websites to move.
You know, I don't care too much for a lot of the transitions and transformations and stuff, but they do add a little bit of nice pop for some stuff.
Yeah, but I don't do children's websites.
Either, but it still works well. Don't worry about it. Just
shh. All right.
Next one is the CSS font stack. Woo! Font stack. Right?
Yay! So this is just giving you a sans serif serif for a monospace font stacks.
Well, yeah, but what it is they're like nicely built font stacks. So it's not just like, you know, oh, here, you should use these fonts. It's got a little bit of a design.
Yeah, so you don't have to do it.
Choice.
Just
yeah,
randomly pick
so you
one.
You don't have to think about it. You're just like, oh, I like the way Rockwell looks, so I'm going to go grab this Rockwell stack.
Right. Yeah. I like looking at the side here. You can see just how, I mean, some people say Facebook gives you more links back even on a smaller amount of people sharing it. But look at Twitter, 686 shares, Facebook, 68, Google Plus, 40. And what the hell is InShare?
No idea. I haven't heard of that.
Please don't be LinkedIn. Don't tell me people are sharing things. It is LinkedIn.
It
who shares shit like this on LinkedIn? What is... I mean, I haven't been there in 2 years, but...
Well, you know, there's all those glorified mailing lists that are on LinkedIn, so maybe that's
disgusting.
It is. People use it. Design Taxi, which, interesting name, Design Taxi.
Oh my god, these look awesome.
But these are really cool. These are the Helvetica cards, and so these are playing cards set very minimally... using Helvetica, of course.
I'm so getting these. I don't even play cards, but I want these.
And it'll make your game of solitaire look so much better, right?
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, where you're sitting there with your dog and you've got your glasses on and your scraggly beard and you're playing hipster solitaire at Starbucks.
Exactly. It's $10 for a deck, if you want to buy a deck. So, yeah. They're nice looking.
You know, if I just saw the top...
I kind of hope... That he's got 54 cards, which means there's two Jokers in there. I kind of hope the two Jokers are both set in, like, Comic Sans. That would just be, like, absolutely...
I'm looking. No, that's a Jack. Shit.
Yeah. Like, that would just be amazing if his... if it was...
You gotta send him a message about it.
Yeah. Be like, dude, the Jokers better be set in... Or Ariel. That'd be even better. Since most people can't tell...
Right.
And I know all the type nerds are now going to come and comment there, but like, I can fucking tell the difference. You know, you probably can't.
Well, that's what's funny, because you'll be that...
Maybe in a direct comparison, but if I was to take this card and reset it in Ariel versus Helvetica and then just show it to you out of the blue, you probably wouldn't be able to tell me it was Ariel.
Well, what'd be funny is you're playing poker with a few people, and then there's just that one person who is really good, and it's like, bro, this is Ariel, this isn't Helvetica, what the hell, you know,
And then you hit him in the back of the head with a shovel.
Right? Yeah, you're like...
We don't need people like that.
You don't need to point this stuff out.
Yeah. What would be awesome is you'd use that for counting cards, right?
Yes.
Like, Like, you would make sure all the kings had, like, Ariel on the back, and you'd learn to identify Helvetica cards set in Ariel. And then if anybody saw that, you're like, he's got fucking kings. Fuck this guy.
That's great.
That would be awesome. All right, next one is the jQuery handpicked plugin repository.
Woo!
From I Want an Ethan. I Want an Ethan repo. Yes. This is actually kind of cool, though. So it's like one dude, I do believe, he set up a GitHub repo that has all of the...
Autumn things.
All of the plugins in it, so you can go download them. But then you can just browse through here and you can see, like, you know, for effects and UI, he likes Airport. And then he kind of shows you, he's got a little demo, like, here's what Airport does, right? Or he likes Flickr, and so then this is what Flickr does, like, things like that. So it's kind of cool just being able to see the plugins that this person thinks are useful and handy.
Oh, there's one called, have you ever seen Circle Menu? This looks incredibly useless.
I do believe I saw Circle Menu. Yeah, some are really good, some are not. Like, if you look under the forms and controls, there's one that's named Chosen, which is actually, like, really awesome. I really like Chosen. I've been using the fuck out of it lately. On a big giant CMS thing that I'm building.
Chosen. What does it do?
It replaces standard selects and multi-selects into looking box, but then there is live filtering on it, and then you can basically add them, like, you know, like how you add tags on Forest,
mm-hmm.
Where it has the little tag box that has the name of the tag and a button to delete it. Multi-selects end up looking just like that.
I really like this. I might use this tonight on a project I'm working. I like this the select where you actually get the search box on top also.
Yeah, like, it's, like, really nicely done. It's very handy. So,
well, that's a good show to listen to.
Circle. The circle menu. Yeah, that's ripping off Path.
So useless.
Like, completely ripping off Path. All right, we're going to move on. Next one is What the Fuck Mobile Web.
Woo!
This is actually kind of cool. It's a little Tumblr site that obviously it's a Tumblr site, right? That just collects, like, really bad mobile browser decisions. So, yeah, I mean, like, the top one here, the Nespresso site uses a fixed width mobile site on anything that's detected as mobile, like, you know, an iPad. Isn't really that mobile. I mean, you know, my wife has an iPad and
it never leaves the house.
No, but it's really weird coming across, like, a site that's laid out for iPhone or especially for iPad on the iPad, because regular websites work pretty damn well on it.
Have you ever?
Like, I'm not saying you shouldn't be responsive, but
are you a fan of Urban Dictionary?
To some degree.
They've got a mobile site that is such a fucking pain in the ass. You go to it on your phone. You don't get an option to view the regular site. It automatically redirects you to the mobile.
That's what I hate the worst. And I've had some.
You can't highlight text, and you can't get a URL for whatever you're on.
Right.
And the email this button doesn't work either. It's, like, so awful.
Yeah. No, I can't remember what site it was. It was, like, a restaurant website. And I went to it on my phone, and all I could see was, like, the menu. And I wanted to find, like, hours or something, right?
Right.
But only the menu. Like, that was it. You're just going to read the fucking menu and that's it. And, you know, hey, kudos to them for having a mobile site. That's great. But I want more information than just the menu. So there's a button on the bottom that's, like, full site. You click that, but every time you click it...
It still takes you back to the mobile. It
takes you back to the mobile because it does a browser sniff and goes, no, he's on mobile. He wants the mobile site.
So
no,
retarded.
I fucking don't
it's
want the
so
mobile
retarded.
Site. It's really not that hard to set up, you know? It's really not. But just people are fucking stupid. You know? That's just... People are fucking
hey,
stupid.
Hey,
please poach me.
Oh, okay. I mean, Kenneth, I was going to do one where I was going to be like, hey, you know, I'm not really happy where I am now.
Are you not? You're not happy with Forrest?
I'm, you know, anonymously, I'm not happy with Forrest.
Yeah, I've heard that Kyle's a dick of a boss.
He's a dick of a boss.
You know?
Just because he might call you up sometimes at 5 in the morning and just go, hey, what are you doing? Hey, what's going on? And then his racist dog is barking in the background.
Does he just, like, call you up and just, like, breathe into the phone?
Just he calls you up like Kiff from Futurama and then just hangs up, like, 700 times a day.
You could just stop answering the phone. All right. Yeah.
Whatever. Never mind. He keeps me in his basement when I go to visit him in New York.
Does he? Does he make you put the lotion on?
He makes me put the lotion on, or I get the hose again.
Damn it. Dude, you ought to just quit.
All right, so what's poach me, please?
Please poach me. The idea is that you don't really like your job, but, you know, you don't want to, like, put your name out or whatever, or you don't want to potentially get caught.
Right.
Right? Anyway, yeah, you don't want to get caught.
Skills, but no names.
Yeah, so you come onto the site, you sign in with LinkedIn, which fucking sucks, but anyway, you sign in with LinkedIn. You tell them, like, what you're looking for, you know, an email address, salary that you'd like, what your company's kind of like, you know, things like that. And then they will send you emails with opportunities. If you're a company, you can come and you know, review candidates and stuff like that.
It's basically a glory hole for finding a job. You're kind of going into the trucker bathroom and you're sticking your resume through the hole. They can't see you.
I don't know that it's quite that bad. I see it as more like... you know, like I was watching, there's an awesome series on Netflix called Stephen Fry in America.
Okay.
You know who Stephen Fry is, yes. Right? Okay. So he comes to America and he goes through each of the 50 states. So he's in Nevada and he goes to a brothel where they're legal in Nevada.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's gay, so he doesn't care about the girls, but the madam is like explaining to him how it all works. And she's like, you know, okay, the client would come in and he'd sit down here and then we'd bring in like four girls or something like that, right? Like they bring in a certain number of girls and then he gets to like pick one,
right,
to ask him questions. That's kind of what this is like. You know, this is the brothel meeting room.
All right,
I think
I'll accept it. Like redhead.
If you haven't seen that show, Stephen Fry in America,
yeah, I haven't seen it.
It's worth watching. It's pretty funny. It's good. So sorry about that. JPEG.to. So you put a single keyword in front of the .jpeg.to and you get an image. Like you can do cat.jpeg.to and you get a picture of a cat.
Well, I typed sex and I got just some dude in a video.
That's what I got too, actually.
Do Gooder TV.
What about if you type in like penis? Hey, you get one.
Yes, you do. You're a member of the Pin 15 Club.
You know you were trying that one, right? So anyway,
you type in cookies, you also get a penis. Nice.
Oh, was that cookies?
No, you get a gingerbread man.
This would be like, you know, you're building a website and maybe you want to have just all these cat pictures on here, so you just keep referencing cat.jpg.
You know, I think I'll stick with the, we had one, was it Muppets? It was a Muppet thing. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Muppet one, huh?
Yeah, where you just type in what size you want and just throw in your Muppets.
Okay.
Yeah, I just killed the show. We should just quit right now.
I wonder what the algorithm is for finding the images. Like, I wonder if it just uses, like, Google Image Search.
No, it's curated by hand. He went and found that penis picture.
He probably did. By hand. jQuery Air! This is a free, apparently, that's what it says, jQuery class for learning jQuery. Like, you just get started jQuery.
Hey, it's by the kids who do
five videos.
Rail Zombie.
Yeah, this is from Code School. You get to watch five videos, each of which is followed by code challenges, so you'll get to learn jQuery and apply the principles directly in the browser. So if you know shit all about jQuery, then this is a good thing to go through.
I think Code School, actually, even for the free ones, when you finish one of these, you also get $5 off at Peep Code or something like that. No, Pragmatic Programmers. I believe.
Say what?
I said I believe that you also get $5 off of Pragmatic Programmer stuff whenever you finish one of these.
Hmm. I wonder if that applies to all of them or if that only applies to Rail Zombies.
Oh, look. So over... Never mind. I just saw a picture you sent me.
Delano/Redis Dump on GitHub. So this is one I just found this weekend. This looks kind of cool. I think it could actually be fairly handy.
Especially since you're Redis master now.
Since I do a lot of Redis stuff, yeah, this could be very handy. So what this is, it's a little command line tool that will dump and restore all of Redis data to and from JSON.
Nice.
So, the thing is, like, with how Redis works, there's not a great way to back up Redis. Hopefully somebody writes in and tells me I'm completely wrong about that. But the way it works is Redis basically constantly flushes the disk every X number of seconds, and you just have this big file that is your dump, your Redis dump. And it's just fucking huge.
I think that's the best way for you to trick people into doing work for you and figuring stuff out.
This doesn't exist, man.
Say the wrong thing, and there'll be 37 neckbeards all saying, no, that's not it.
I would welcome them. So anyway, you have this big file that's constantly being updated, so it feels like, and you got to either shut down Redis, which means you got to like shut down your site if your site relies on Redis, or you've got to find some other solution, like maybe you do this from a slave or something. But anyway, so it's constantly updating files. It's kind of a pain in the ass to dump it out. So this is kind of cool, the idea that you could just dump at any point your database out to JSON, move that JSON file somewhere else to a machine or a backup server or whatever, and then just load it right back up.
Onto a floppy drive.
That could be interesting. I mean, I guess if you got a really small set of Redis, then that'll work. But no, this is a cool idea. And I also kind of wonder, like, you know, if there's not some way to automate this and then use just that JSON data instead of going to Redis, but why the fuck would you want to do that?
I don't know.
I don't either. I don't have a good answer for that. But anyway, this looks like a kind of a cool idea for how to back up and restore Redis stuff.
Word. I like
this. You know what? Let's leave this next one until the end.
Okay. It's stuff I like to talk about anyway. So.
Yeah. So the next one is issues. GitHub issues from the command line. Fuck yes. You know, every single one of us, everybody here, like everybody hates trying to deal with GitHub issues from the command line, right?
Yeah.
It doesn't integrate. It's not like you can do, you know, closes issue number 242, as far as I know. I don't believe that works. So, anyway, what you can do here is you can, you install this, it runs a little node thing, and then it'll tell you what your issues are on your GitHubs, and you can, you know, work on stuff.
You got issues.
See, we don't, like, it's funny. Our current workflow, we don't use GitHub issues, so this wouldn't help me any. But
if you're doing like an open source project, though,
and then at other times, I didn't mean to send you that link. At other times, you know, this could be handy. Like later, right now we use Trello for all of our issues because we're still very much building and we're not really bug fixing. I would pay out the ass for Trello. Let's not tell Joel Spolsky that I said that. Trello is fucking awesome. But later on, when we move to using GitHub issues instead of using Trello, when we're mainly doing triage and bug fixes and stuff, this will definitely come in handy.
Right.
Yeah. Mike, you know what? Let's skip this next one, too. We're going to do the last two, and then we'll come back to the two that aren't
racist.
Super related, that aren't super related to what you and I talk about most of the time on the show. This one is Review This, which I think is kind of a neat idea. So the idea, again, going back to GitHub, is whenever you do a commit, you tag it with hash review this, and then you put in @ and GitHub usernames or an email address. And what it will do, you set it up with a post receive hook. What it will do is it'll read your commit message, and then it will send out an email to those people telling them, hey, I want you to review this code.
That's pretty brilliant.
It's a really great idea, especially if you're working on something that's open source to where you don't necessarily have a core team working on it. But even like, so the way that we do our code, because I can only talk about what I do for really explaining stuff, right? We have all of our tickets on Trello, and then we do our code reviews whenever we do a pull request. So a pull request may be 5 commits, it may be 40 commits, right? It kind of varies. We had one that was over, it was like 300 diffs or something like that.
How long did that take?
Insane. It was like 3 days worth of work. It was a major, major refactor. So anyway, we pretty much always review as a group. Anyway, there's only 4 of us, so it's fairly tight-knit, right? But if you had a larger company, maybe you had 20 people working on GitHub, this would come in handy even for that. Yeah. It's one core group, but you don't necessarily want every single person to get every single pull request message. Or maybe this one check-in isn't worth a pull request. You just want to make sure that this is good code or whatever. It's a cool idea.
Make sure this shit is hot.
I think it's neat. I think a lot of people would use this and be like, fuck yeah, man, this thing is awesome.
I mean, yeah, I can definitely see uses for it.
Yeah. Exactly. See? Look, I've already converted one person. Awesome. All right, last one that's actually web stuff is visitor.js, which lets you...
is this about aliens?
Personal. No, I wish. No, that'd be cool. So first up, this is actually a paid product.
Oh.
You gotta pay for it. But the thing is, I did see on Hacker News, like 2 days after this came out, somebody created like a free version.
Well, hackers don't need to pay for it.
So there's a free version. But it's a cool idea. So basically the way it works is it lets you personalize the site for each visitor. So it kind of tracks the users that are coming to your site a little tiny bit. And then lets you do certain things. Like maybe if you notice they're from Australia, instead of saying hello, you greet them with good day.
Because that's really hard to do.
Because you like to perpetuate stereotypes. You can track like when they were last there. So you can come back with, you know.
Time spent on the website. Like put that on Facebook. All right, bro, you've been on here for 4 hours today. Right. Go outside.
Exactly. I've been on this website for exactly 38 minutes and 20 seconds today. But I've been on, this is my fourth visit to the site. So, yeah. But it's got a lot of kind of neat stuff in it. It's a cool idea. And we used to do all this, like, I'm sure you remember back in the day, you used to do all sorts of personalization stuff like this, right?
Yeah.
You'd, like, look up where they were coming from, or if they had Google search results that had led them to you.
And people would be freaking out, like, oh my God, how do they know I'm somewhere within 500 miles of Detroit?
Well, now you don't have to do that. And it always just said, what's up, blood, right?
What's up? Ah, man, okay. That goes with the next one.
That goes with the next one. Yeah, we're going to go to Microsoft one next. But anyway, this is kind of a cool idea. I haven't looked at the free one yet, so you might check out the free one. It might be just as good, and if nothing else, it's free, which is woo-hoo. But it's a cool idea, and it's neat to see it all done just kind of in JavaScript. Because we can do everything in JavaScript now, right?
Right.
You just wait tomorrow we've got, or not tomorrow, Wednesday, we've got an HTML5, CSS3, and JavaScript Photoshop emulator. It's awesome. It's exactly like using Photoshop. It's amazing.
Does it run on like SNES MAME or something?
You'll see. So CBSSeattle.com. Not the kind of place we normally would reference.
No, it's the CW11.
Yeah. Is talking about something that Microsoft has patented.
The ghetto.
Which is a new feature for GPS devices. And I guarantee you a ton of people are going to buy this.
I guarantee you that Michael Dyson and a few other NAACP people are going to be like, what?
What it is, it's a feature for your GPS so that you can tell it, only for pedestrians. This isn't for cars. This is for pedestrian GPS devices, right? So like your phone when you get walking directions to somewhere. That will help you avoid, quote, unsafe neighborhoods or being in an open area that is subject to harsh temperatures.
The ghetto.
So the ghetto or the open desert?
Yeah, but walking like... Yes.
I'm pretty sure the open desert is fairly easy to avoid.
Were there any paths through there in the first place? Like, yes, walk directly through that.
Yeah, nobody just like randomly turns a corner and falls in the death
valley. Oh no, I'm in the Badlands! Woo!
Right. Yeah, that's fairly uncommon. So what I was
just
know
going
is,
to 7-Eleven.
Is the GPS device just going to route you completely around like Detroit and Compton and Stockton, California? Like, is it just you seem to be approaching Stockton. Let me divert you to San Francisco. Is that what it's gonna do? Like,
you don't want to go there. What if that's your location though? No, what if that's your destination?
It will never take you home again.
It just gives you an alternative.
Gives you an alternative route. It takes you to a house that's for sale in a better city.
Yeah, it's like, nah, man, you don't want to go there.
No, trust me. There's nothing in Detroit you need to see.
But
go to Chicago.
My grandma's there. That's all right. We're
You're gonna go to Milwaukee. There's better grandmas in Milwaukee.
We're actually setting up. We're sending your grandmother plane tickets right now to meet you in Milwaukee.
That would be awesome, actually. That would actually be kind of cool. And Microsoft could fund that. If anybody could, Microsoft or Apple could, right?
Dude, yeah, I guess. I got tricked into thinking that there was something cool from Microsoft yesterday, and I was like, all right, Microsoft, you finally impressed me for the first time in 10 years, but then it was a third-party thing. Did you see from CES where they were using Windows 8 and navigating by his eyes?
No.
Super impressive. I'm going to add it to the show tomorrow. Stuff.
Part of why I don't watch CES stuff is because like half of that shit will never see the light of day.
This is true. CES does not count as the light of day.
No, because it's in Vegas, right? Happens in Vegas, stays in Vegas. Things that are debuted in Vegas may not ever leave Vegas. There's so much shit that happens at CES that never goes anywhere else ever again.
Look here, it's a car that gets 70 million miles to the gallon and runs on puppies.
And then, like, CES just kind of pisses me off. Like, I watched a video today that popped up on Hacker News. It was like, world's sexiest stove. And since, you know, we bought the house, we're remodeling stuff. I was like, all right, fuck, I'm going to go look at the stove. It's like this induction. I'm like, okay, cool, it's an induction stove. But no serious chef uses a fucking induction stove.
What if
the sexiest stove needs to be fucking gas, because that's what real cooks use.
What if the things that ran on puppies were not like what you think, where it's like, oh, it's ground up puppies? Instead, it's puppies in a cage that just age really fast. They just quickly age in that cage.
So like when the master had the doctor captive and
right, exactly. You drive, you know, cross country, you know, starting with a puppy, like, and then you just got like this 10-year-old dog.
You get to the side and you just like, I mean, that's an interesting conundrum. You know, which would you rather have, the puppy, or would you rather be on the other side of the country?
Well, it depends on whether or not you are using the ghetto navigator.
You know, the ghetto navigator is going to make it take longer to get home.
Because you're going to want, right, you're going to age that puppy even more.
Because there's always that one shortcut that goes through like the absolute worst part of town.
But then you might have, by the time you get to Compton, you might have an aged dog that could save you, that could protect you.
It gets you home 30 minutes faster, but it always goes to the worst part of town. You know? Okay, so this next...
No, wait, this is funny. A friend of mine last night at 5 in the morning was like, I'm staying with my brand new boyfriend for the first time, and I went to the bathroom, and I plugged the toilet, and I'm freaking out, and I don't know what to do. He's sleeping, and I don't have a plunger. I'm so embarrassed. And she was like, I was like, well, is there a CVS? Because she's in like LA or whatever. And she's like, it is, but it's in a bad place, a part of town, and it's not someplace you want to go to at 4 in the morning.
Just don't worry about it, right? If it's not overflowing, fuck, there's a cutoff valve.
Oh, it was funny.
You want to, okay. So, first of all, the GPS thing. Did you ever listen to Patton Oswalt's Werewolves and Lollipops?
Yes.
And the one where he's talking about, like, when he was a kid and he was over at his friend's house and
black people, like, take
if
your
you
phone.
Ever get cell phones, don't use them in a black or Hispanic neighborhood.
Yes.
They won't work. Like, they just...
Ma, that's really racist.
They just shut off, right? That's the ghetto avoider. That's how you avoid it. When you drive in and your GPS cuts off, you're like, hey, I'm a bad part of town. I better move out.
It slowly starts dropping.
Exactly. The signal starts going all fuzzy like an old TV when it would get stormy and your antenna
stopped. It's getting a little ethnic.
All these kids that don't know shit about antennas. They're like, and what?
And ones?
All right, so then second, it's absolutely astounding how happy it made me yesterday when I figured out how to get the lights to go on in my garage.
Okay.
Like we've got these two light switches, or these two light sockets up there, and so the wife climbed up and she put one in the other day, but like the switch wouldn't work. And so I was like walking around the garage and I was like, oh wait, it's a three-way switch. This one's turned on. I should turn it off. Turn it off, go flip the switch by the door, and boom, they go on.
It was like a old Tomb Raider like thing. You gotta pull this lever and then go back to the beginning of the level and pull the first thing you saw.
Yeah, I felt like I was playing Resident Evil all over again. Like I had found the yellow statue and now I needed to find the blue one so that I could let out the rabid dogs.
Right.
And then, yeah, it was fucking horrible. But it's like, oh my god, I have lights in the garage now.
So this next one is something I'd seen before. It's from the Botanicals.
This next one's really cool, yeah. This is neat. This is, it's on Crisp Green, which is not the kind of site we normally find stuff.
No, because most of the time it's douchebag stuff.
Yeah, this came up on Hacker News. You know, Hacker News is, like, really good if you're not trying to find tech stuff. Like, it's funny. If you're trying to find, like, random shit for, like, around your house, or you're trying to find, like, fuck-ups that Google or Microsoft or Apple make, or, you know, like, whatever, Hacker News is awesome.
They're really big on that.
Yeah, if you're trying to find, like, actually useful tech stuff, like, here's the way to avoid being hacked through your CSS. No. Anyway. So what this is... This is a little thing. You build it yourself. You stick it, jam it down into your plants, and your plants will now tweet to you when they need to be watered.
Yes.
It's a cool idea.
It's like, hey, you're killing me. It's like, it reminds me of the, hey, you know, it's easy to water all your hard-to-reach plants.
Why would you make a plant hard to reach? It seems so very mean. I don't know. $100 for, like, one plant to tell you.
It better be, like, a saffron plant. Where does saffron come from? I don't know.
Saffron is the Damon from A Certain Kind of Flower.
Yeah, so this is what you'd use that for.
It's the penis of A Certain Kind of Flower.
Mm.
I do believe. I might be a little wild.
It's like bull testicle.
Which used to be in Red Bull. Because it had taurine in it, and they didn't used to use synthetic taurine, and taurine comes from bull semen.
Awesome.
So all you people that love drinking Red Bull back in the day, you're welcome.
Back in the day, I had a Red Bull drink last night. It was awful. Yeah, so
now
disgusting.
Now they use synthetic.
So nasty.
So it's still disgusting, but it's not organically disgusting. It's synthetically disgusting. To me, like, it's a cool idea, but only if you have like one plant.
There's a
like, if you've got like a bunch of plants, A, you've got to be able to run Cat5 to each of them, or some sort of like Ethernet cable, right? And then B, you've got to spend $100 for each plant, and then go register a Twitter name.
Right. There's a book on pragmatic programmers that shows you how to do this with Arduino, and it's a little bit cheaper, and you'll actually learn something instead of just buying this thing that's already pre-programmed.
So okay, so here's the thing: at PyCon this year, and I'm not going, and I'm sad that I'm not going for one reason, and it's this one talk. That I think it's on the schedule. I'm trying to go check real quick, but it looks like the site's kind of swamped. But the proposed talk, at least, was that you could. It was using like Arduino and webcams, two webcams, so you had stereoscopic vision because that's important, and then like little actuators and water cannons to shoot squirrels that get into your yard.
That's fabulous, because I have my entire roof is slanted except for one part where it's flat, and it's where my old bedroom used to be, and every morning I just get squirrels running back and forth across the roof, and it's so annoying.
Right. So, see, you go to this, and it teaches you how to and it wasn't just, like, shoot anything that moves in its field of view. It was, like, using photo and image recognition to determine if it was friend or foe. And yeah, it's going on. Okay, so it's 2:15 p.m. on Saturday at PyCon. Militarizing your backyard with Python, computer vision, and the squirrel hordes. The description is, your garden been ravaged by the marauding squirrel hordes? Has your birthday been pillaged? Tired of shaking your fist at the neighbor children? Learn how to use Python to tap into computer vision libraries and build an automated sentry water cannon capable of soaking intruders.
Oh God, I hope that's recorded.
This talk, if no other talk... Anywhere at PyCon.
If you go, if anybody goes, make sure to take your phone or whatever and record this.
Exactly. You have, like, this, I have got to see this talk. I was going to go to PyCon, but then just I realized I'd be better off saving my money for DjangoCon.
And if anybody else is interested about stuff like this, the Pragmatic Bookshelf has something called Programming Your Home with Arduino, Android, and your computer. And they talk about doing,
I'm going to add both of those to the...
A tweeting bird feeder, package delivery detector, web-enabled light switches, Android door lock, all types of interesting things.
Some of those could be handy. I was thinking about making... So most of the time at our house, up to now, the cat has always lived inside. He's a house cat, but he lives inside. But now,
oh, he was in the box? You didn't know if he was alive or dead?
No. I was fairly sure he was alive. Anyway, but so now we realize that we don't want the cat, like, pooping in the house and walking around in the kitchen and stuff like that.
Right, or eating the children.
Say what?
Or eating the children.
That hasn't happened yet. I don't think we have to worry about it. But anyway, so we're like, okay, we're going to put him out in the garage. So every night we put him out in the garage. And this is northern Oregon. It gets a little chilly. Right now it's 37 degrees. I don't know what it is in Detroit, but compared to...
we might actually be warmer because it's been stupid, ridiculously warm, and it's so warm that...
You know, I saw some about it. It was in, like, Chicago on Christmas Day. It was, like, 80 degrees or something like that.
80? Wow, okay. We've had, like, some...
Maybe it wasn't 80, but it was, like, really, really warm. We've had some... Especially for fucking Chicago.
We've had some, like, 50-degree days, and it's been super impressive.
Yeah, we've been hitting 50s. Like, today it's, like, 37. This whole week is supposed to be under 50, but like last week we had like 50. I think we were going to have like 55 one day as a like super crazy high.
It's 41 right now. It's supposed to be 45 tomorrow, 46 the next day.
So I'm colder than you.
Yeah, if this was the normal winters in Detroit, I wouldn't complain so much.
Yeah. Is this normal or is this warmer than normal?
This is like 10 degrees warmer than normal.
Right. Okay. So anyway, the cat's outside. It's like, 30-something at night. We're like, yeah, it's kind of fucking cold. Not outside. He's in the garage, but the garage isn't insulated at all. So basically, it's outside with a roof.
Cat-sickle.
Right. We're like, we don't want the cat to freeze. So we got, like, a heating lamp. But our idea was to get, like, an Arduino and, like, a pressure sensor and a an electric heating pad.
Your cat is a cheeseburger at McDonald's sitting underneath the heat lamp.
Yeah, right now, basically. Well, actually, he's not under the heat lamp. The heat lamp shines into the door of, like, a cardboard box, which he can go into, and there's a bed for him in there. So, you know, it's, like, warm air around the bed, so he should be okay. But the idea was to have, like, pressure sensor and Arduino and electric heating pad. And so then when the cat comes in and lays down in his bed, he's on the pressure, and then it turns on the heating pad, and then the bed warms up.
He's never going to leave. He's going to sit on that bed forever.
That would be fine. I just haven't been, I haven't had the time, energy,
the wherewithal,
desire to build the damn thing. But, like, you know, like little shit like that, like, I want to learn how to do stuff like that because that would be fun just for, you know, now I don't have to, like, worry about the cat at night.
We're going to hook up that pressure sensor to your TV so you can't watch season two of Game of Thrones until the cat's sitting on that pressure thing. And it'll be done in 4 hours. It'll be the fastest build ever.
I'll just watch Game of Thrones on a computer instead of the TV, then. You forget, my laziness outweighs, like, anything else. I'm a programmer. I'm lazy. But no, like, that was my idea. I just need to, like, buy all that stuff and figure out how to do it. And I figure it's more important to, like, fix the things that are broken in the house than to give the cat over from bed for the next couple of months.
It'll be okay. It makes him stronger.
Yeah. I mean, fuck. You know.
As long as Arya doesn't catch him.
He needs some toughening up. It's okay. Arya's not in the Red Keep anymore. Arya's living in the Temple of the God of Many Faces, remember?
Yep.
She goes through some cool shit. You need to go finish the book. She has some cool stuff.
I'm going to pick it back up then.
Some cool shit. I finished today. I think I'm going to start reading The Hunger Games next because I've been hearing good stuff about
What's
that.
The Hunger Games?
I don't know. But I've been hearing good stuff about it and I have...
So maybe that should be the first thing we start talking about on the show.
Maybe. I have book one on my Kindle app.
Ooh,
so
it's an adult novel.
Most novels are adults. But you know what? Any book is a kid's book if the kid can read.
It's gotten good reviews from Stephen King, so I don't know. No.
But I know, hey.
A lamp monster!
Stephen King's opinion amounts for a lot because he makes fun of Twilight and praises Harry Potter. So he obviously knows what the fuck he's talking about. Wait, you didn't read the Harry Potter books, did you?
I read the first one. I didn't particularly think it was great.
That's gonna be our series. We're gonna read the fucking Harry Potter because you need to read those.
Guys, I'm serious now. I'm reading Harry Potter for work. It's not my fault.
I didn't just decide to do this. I assigned it. Yeah. No. Yeah. I think Hunger Games is gonna be the first one I'm reading. And then once that's good, I'll decide about, like, if I finish reading the series or not. But, yeah, Game of Thrones, or not Game of Thrones.
I'm on its Wikipedia. I still don't know what the fuck it's about.
Dance with Dragons is a good thing to go read. You should go read that. You should go finish it. That's the end of the show. You can find us, pishposh.tv. Old stuff is on forestpodcast.com. We're going to stop mentioning that eventually. We are Forest Podcast on Twitter. And you can email us, podcast@forest.com. Mike over there, he's magic6435.
That's true.
On Twitter. I'm Kenneth Love on Twitter. And really, Twitter's all you need. I mean, who the fuck needs
Hey, they're making a movie of Hunger Games. It comes out this year.
I have heard that, yeah.
It's got Donald Sutherland, so it's going to be good, no matter what.
I think that's part of why I've been seeing a lot of buzz about it lately. New season of Doctor Who should be starting soon.
Shut up. Oh, God, it's got Lenny Kravitz in it. What the fuck is this?
Think about this, though. He turned 50 the other day.
Jesus.
I saw something on Tumblr that, like, it was Lenny Kravitz's 50th birthday, and it's like, he's fucking 50?
I went out and hung out with some people, and then I realized that they were all, like, 20, 21, or 20, and I was like, because it was like, hey, let's go to the bar, and they're like, we're 20, and I'm like, what?
Yeah, it's...
How am I meeting 20-year-olds?
Yeah, it's really sad how disappointing it is, like, you know, you find somebody cool on Twitter or IRC or something like that. You're like, oh, man, this really is depressing. How old are you? Oh, I'm like 19. The fuck are you doing?
Did you watch the last episode of Louis?
No. I love Louis, but I've only watched like two episodes of it.
He goes to Afghanistan with Dallas cheerleaders, and he keeps hitting on Dallas cheerleader the entire time. And he's finally like, would you ever date a guy like my age? And she's like, ew, no. Like, would you ever date like an 18-year-old? And Louis just goes, yes.
Well, it's Louis, right?
Of course.
Yeah, I'm very disappointed. I haven't watched his newest special yet either. I bought it the day it went on sale. I just haven't finished watching. I watched like the first half and then...
Word.
Got distracted somehow.
It's pretty good.
Everything I've seen of his has been pretty good. I mean, like, he's fairly well written.
He's well written. He's well spoken.
Yeah. All right, we should end the show. We can keep talking if you want, but we should end the show.
All right, bye, everybody.
Later.